Let's get our Bibles out tonight. Let's go to the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 20 and 21. Romans, chapter 8, verse 20 and 21. Wasn't that piano playing good?
Amen.
All right. Hunter's a man of multi-talents. He can mow grass, he can put poles in the ground, and he can play the piano. Amen. I'll tell you what, that's something else. I'm not sure I could do any of those. I can play a radio pretty good. But sometimes that doesn't even work for me. Romans chapter 8, verse 20 and 21. Say amen when you get there.
Amen.
Amen. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to work on this a little bit here tonight, and I'm going to be teaching, so if I see anybody nodding off, I've got a songbook right here. There's just a couple of them left. And I'm real good at throwing songbooks. Praise God. So keep your eyes open. Get some toothpicks and prop them open a little bit. And we'll have a good time here tonight. Praise God. I promise I won't keep you long. But this is very, very important here tonight. Let's pray and ask for the Lord's help. Father, we thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the touch of the Lord that we felt already in this service. I pray you'll fill us with the Holy Ghost tonight. That you'll move in our mind and our spirits and give us wisdom and understanding of your word. I pray in Jesus' name tonight. Praise God. Praise God. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. I've been ministering a lot lately on the basic truths of the Word of God, and what I want to do tonight is to add a little bit to it. I'm not going to go into what I have been into, but this is a little bit different, but along the same vein, same thought. It's very important for each of us to understand this very basic truth, because as we look at the Scripture, there's three words here in Romans 8, 20 and 21. Three words that tell the truth of our existence in this life. And those three words are made. Everybody said made. For the creature was made. And then the word subject. Everybody said subject. And subject to vanity. Everybody said vanity.
Vanity.
And so we're going to talk about made, subject, and vanity. I wrestled with whether or not I should use the chalkboard. You can see that we're not going to tonight, but if you, in your mind, just put made, subject, and vanity. And let's see if we can glean a little bit from these to give us direction and give us understanding as we travel this road to heaven. Praise God. And that's what I want to do. I want to go to heaven. I want to hear him say, well done. Nothing else matters in life, but there are a lot of pitfalls and there are a lot of things that can come along your way that will try to get you off of the track. And so let's look at the word made here. It comes in from the Greek, and it means a product, literally or figuratively, a thing that is made or a workmanship. Amen. And this is one definition that seems to fit the context of the scripture tonight, because each and every one of us are made with a certain makeup to us, if you haven't noticed that. And each and every one of us have a DNA code that makes us unique. Every one of us are unique here tonight. You have a fingerprint that nobody else has in this world, And we were reading just the other day, and now they're going into handprints, so you can put your hand up, and getting pretty close to the mark of the beast there. But it's like a snowflake. Amen. There's not two that are alike. Things like sin and chemicals that are in this world, the chemicals of alcohol and drugs, can literally corrupt our DNA and cause cancer and cause terrible changes in your body. But in the purest form here of the Word of God, it says that we are made the way that we are made by God. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. You are who you are because God made you the way that you are. Romans chapter 9, I want to get my reader going here tonight. Amen. All right, Romans chapter 9 and verse 20. Go ahead and read that tonight.
Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus?
All right, so we are the thing that was formed, and we cannot say, why have you made me thus? The very fabric of who we are was made by God. It was the plan of God ahead of before we were even born and conceived in our mother's womb. And so when we look at this here, in this fabric that God made us out of, the workmanship that God made us out of, He made some things that are present with us and are going to be present with us all the days of our life. Right. You've got to remember this, and you've got to get this in your heart, because they will be with us all the days of our life. Receiving the Holy Ghost isn't going to change these things. Attending church is not going to change these things, because we have the tendencies that we have. We have the personality that we have. We have the physical makeup that we have. And yes, even the gender that we are was made by God. Somebody can say amen to that. There's a lot of confusion today, but if you get into the Word of God, there's really no confusion. And so when the Lord made us, He made each and every one of us with weaknesses, and He made each and every one of us with strengths. Praise God. He gave us both of those things. And in this fabric called flesh, this human body that we live in, there are things that are going to be there all the days of our lives, the strengths and the weaknesses. And we take comfort in the Apostle Paul's words where he said, I die daily. Yeah. And in the context of those words that he wrote down, he was admitting that he had weaknesses. And he also admitted that he had strengths. And the weaknesses were very powerful, and he had to die daily to some things that were not right with God, that God would not be pleased with. Amen. Amen. And so he said, I die daily. And each of us have weaknesses that, given the chance and fostered and all of that, they would destroy us. There are weaknesses in each and every one of us that if we allowed those weaknesses to take over, they would destroy us and send us to a godless eternity. And I don't want to have a godless eternity. Amen. Praise God. Yes, and there are strengths in each and every one of us that will bless us greatly if we will focus upon those things and build and edify those things in our life and strengthen them so that we can be what He wants us to be. Amen. We were made. Everybody said we were made. All right, we were made. But the scripture says here that we were made subject. And everybody said subject. We were made subject. And that in the original definition of that word, it means to arrange under, to subordinate or to subject, or to put into subjection, to subject oneself or to obey, amen, like a subject or someone who is in not in leadership but a follower, someone who doesn't really have a choice. They are the subject. Many, many years ago, the people of the land would be called subjects because they were subjected to the king, and they were subjected to the rule of the king. And so it also is a military term meaning to arrange, as in troop divisions, in a military fashion under the command of a leader. In non-military use, it was a voluntary attitude of giving in or cooperating or assuming responsibility and carrying a burden. Amen. And so when we were made subject. Amen. We were made subject. There's a place in God's army. Amen. For each and every one of us. And it's not up to me and it's not up to you to decide where I'm supposed to be. That's the leader. Amen. And the leader, of course, is the Lord God Almighty. And he's got a plan for each and every one of us. And if we get out of step with the plan of God, and we get out of step with where we are supposed to be, that's where trouble comes. That's where problems come into our lives. Somebody said amen.
Amen.
Amen. The Apostle Paul dealt with this, Romans chapter 7 and verse 23 and 24. Would you read for us tonight?
But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?
All right, now that's the great Apostle Paul, the man who wrote most of the New Testament. Amen. And he said, O wretched man that I am. He recognized that he was made subject. Amen. He recognized that there were some things in his life that he had to die daily over. Praise God. And I want to get into some things here tonight because this is very important that we get a hold of this in our individual life and walk with God. We were made subject. In other words, we were made the way we are, and we can't change the way that we are. It's in our DNA. Now, just hang with me here tonight, all right? Because I believe in the power of God to change us and to mold us and to make us. But we can try, but we're always going to go back to the same thing over and over as far as temptation goes. I'm not talking about sinning every day. I'm not talking about letting those things have dominion over us. But what I'm talking about is the reality of what's inside of each and every one of us. And that is that, O wretched man that I am. O wretched man that I am. I don't know how many times I've looked in the mirror in my life and I've looked at myself and said, O wretched man. Amen. Some people look in the mirror and they like what they see. I don't like what I see. Amen. And that doesn't mean that I'm not happy with what the Lord is doing in my life. I don't mean that at all. But Paul said it, he said it really well. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And we'll go a little bit more into this in just a moment. But the dominance, we were made subject. This dominance or authority has placed us in subjection to the way that we were made. Amen. I can feel right now that some of you are saying, wow, that means that God made me the way I am, and the way that I'm living, I don't have to change it. That's not what I'm talking about tonight. I'm not talking about that. I'm not going to give you a loophole here tonight, a way to escape. Praise God. An excuse. Well, that's just the way God made me. Well, that might be right, but it doesn't mean that you go that way. It doesn't mean that, you know, we have folks in our generation today that say, I feel like I'm this or that or the other. Amen. And I'm not what God made me, or not what I am physiologically. That's a little bit too high for me, but that's the way it goes. Praise God. And but the truth of it is, you were made with certain temptations and weaknesses, and you were made with certain strengths in your life. Praise God. And it's not the right conclusion to say, I'm going to live this way because this is the way God made me. Amen. If you're a man tonight, God made you a man. It doesn't matter what tendencies you have, God made you a man. If you're a woman this morning, God had made you that way. And we ought to be thankful for what God made us. Amen. And because he has made us and put us in this world, he's giving us an opportunity to live with him for eternity in a place called heaven. And I want to go there. Praise God. I don't want to be a non-entity floating out in outer space somewhere. But I want to be, in heaven. Praise God. Let's just say it that way. Well, praise the Lord. Y'all are going to help me here tonight. And so the power to bring us under subjection is what has given way to the different movements today that say this very same thing. This is the way I was born, and this is how I'm going to live my life. But I want to ask you here tonight, what about moral absolutes? What about morality? Amen. What about right and what about wrong? What about good and what about evil? Amen. God put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the garden. God did that. And God made Adam and Eve with certain weaknesses. And you say, well, why did God do that? God did that because he also gave them the power of choice. And God would never know if they really truly loved him if everything was perfect and there were no temptations. But in the time of temptation, amen, we need to stand strong, and we need to say no to that's wrong, and we need to say yes to those things that are right. Praise God. Amen. And so when we look at moral absolutes and we look at good and evil, we can see, in fact, Scripture says that the good and the evil were created by God. Amen. As a measuring stick to see if we love him, if we're going to follow him and do his will. I don't know about you tonight, but I want to do his will. I want to follow him all the way to the very end. Amen. What about the person that's born with a weakness for alcohol? My pastor used to preach that there were some studies that had taken place, and they determined that when a person is born, some people, when they are born, they are an alcoholic. And if they take the first drink, they will be an alcoholic for the rest of their life, because that is in their DNA. And so what do we do? Do we say, I'm just going to be an alcoholic the rest of my life? No. God wants to change us. Amen. And it's up to us to make certain decisions in our life. And instead of dying an early death by alcohol, we could use drugs. We could use a lot of other things. And so does that mean that if you have the tendency to dominate others, that you act the way that you do? Does it mean that if you have a tendency to lie or steal or cheat, if you have these tendencies in your life, I'm just going to be a thief the rest of my life. I'm just going to do this the rest of my life. No, that's not what that means. That just seems, it means that you were made subject. Amen. That you were made subject. We were made subject to vanity, and that's the third word. I'm moving along really well here tonight. Vanity. Everybody said vanity. The word vanity here means what it, a thing that is devoid of truth and appropriateness. Amen. Perverseness or depravity. Frailty, want of vigor or a lack of vigor. Amen. Vanity, devoid of truth and appropriateness. This is in our nature. It's in every one of us here tonight. We were made subject to vanity. Amen. And it's in our nature. No matter how you try to dress it up and make it look good under the pretty trappings that we put on, it's flesh and it's vanity. Amen. The writer in the Old Testament, he said, all is vanity. All is vanity. I did this and it was vain. I did that and I realized it was vanity. I've got more money and possessions than anybody in the world. I'm wiser than anybody in the world. But he said, as the wise man dies, so does the fool die. We're all going to the grave. Amen. And he said that because it's true. Amen. And so vanity is what God put into us when we were created. We were made subject to vanity. That's what the scripture says and what we read here tonight. And the frailty of our flesh is always going to lead us to things that are bad for us, but it doesn't mean that we have to go that way. Amen. How many of us here tonight have the tendency, or you were made subject to eat only things that are good for you? No hands. Mine's behind my back. Praise the Lord. We don't have those tendencies, do we? A child, you know, maybe there are a few in the world, have a tendency to tell the truth all the time. You don't have to be too quiet. We're all in this together. Amen. Amen. What we ought to say is, hi, my name is Greg. I'm a human. Yeah. Praise the Lord. And that covers everything. Praise God. And, you know, how many of us crave things that would destroy us given the opportunity? And you don't have to say anything to that one there. But the trouble comes when we forget this truth and we begin to think that we're pretty good. And we begin to think that we don't need God's word and we don't need the direction of the Lord to help us and to guide us. Amen. We see through a glass darkly. You know, your heart deceives you. Scripture says that the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, and no man knows his heart. No woman knows her heart. Amen. But there is one who tries the reins of our heart, and that's God Almighty. Somebody said amen. Amen. I feel the Holy Ghost in this here tonight. We cannot forget this truth and begin to think in other ways. Amen. I've seen folks that have gotten to the place where they don't need preaching. But I'll tell you what, you're going to need preaching all the days of your life. We can't believe unless we hear, and we can't hear without a preacher. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, I'm just going to leave and go somewhere else and do my own thing. It's vanity. Amen. It's vanity and vexation of spirit. It will not work. It has never worked, and it will not work. Amen. Because it is not appropriate. It is vanity. Amen. It is not the right thing to do ever. Amen. But what we need to do is to walk with the Lord. Amen. And understand that we were made subject to vanity. Amen. Now let's go to the next step. Amen. The next step is your vanity. It's going to be different than somebody else's vanity. Amen. And we've got to admit and look at ourselves and say, this is the thing that's going to send me to a godless eternity, and I've got to deal with this. Right. It's my tendency. It's been my tendency since I was little. Maybe you picked it up along the way somewhere. It really doesn't matter. You've got to deal with it. Praise God. And by dealing with it, you're actually telling God that you love Him. You're actually telling God that you want to do the will of God, and that He is the most important thing in your life. Praise God. Is He the most important thing in our life? I pray that He is. Amen. And so the next part of this verse tells us that we were made this way. But if you'll look at that scripture, Romans chapter 8, verse 20 and 21, for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly. I don't want it to be this way. Oh, wretched man that I am. I'm not happy with this situation. I don't want to go down this road. But we were made subject to vanity. We don't have a choice in the matter, but it's not willingly. Amen. It's not willingly. And we don't want to be this way. If we had to do, we would made ourselves differently. But the truth of it is, if you had the opportunity to make yourself the way you want or the way you think, there's going to be flaws in that one as well. Well, somebody could smile just a little bit. Praise God. Why did God do it this way? There seems to be a battle every day with my weakness. Amen. And some of you could say amen. All of us could say amen. But the next part of this text scripture that we read tonight is that He has subjected us to this plight, but He has given us hope. For the creature, I'm reading from Romans 8:20, for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of Him who hath subjected the same in hope. He didn't just make us subject to vanity, but He subjected us to hope. Amen. Amen. He gave us an internal something or other, whatever it is. Maybe it's the soul. Something that's on the inside that says, there's got to be more to life than this. Amen. There's got to be more to life than just following after my weaknesses and my vanity and my pride and all of those things. And there is more to it than that. Amen. It's living for God. It's doing the will of God. Amen. It's being a part of the body, which is the church. Amen. And we don't want to be... We don't want to be vain in our life, but we have been subjected to that. But praise God, He does not leave us without hope. He does not leave us without an answer to this situation. Amen. And the answer is Jesus Christ and the gospel. Praise the Lord. The answer is the power of the Holy Ghost. The answer is the Word of God. Amen. The answer is preaching. Amen. The answer is worship. The answer is prayer. Praise God. That's our answer tonight. Amen. Because we can't do it on our own. We've got to have God's help. Amen. And He purchased the church. He's building the church so that we will have an outlet. Amen. So that we will have a place to come and gain strength over and over and over again. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so the next part of the original verse is He has subjected us to this plight, but he has given us hope. Galatians 5 and verse 17, read for us tonight.
For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would.
Well, praise God. There's the answer. It's the Spirit. It's the Holy Ghost. It's God's presence in our life. Amen. And when we call on him, he gives us the power to do what we can't do ourselves. Amen. Just because we are a certain way doesn't mean that we have to live that way. Amen. This is why the gospel is really so effective, because it deals with the very issue and gives us hope. Amen. Making it through this life in victory. I want to be an overcomer. Praise God. Some of the most successful people in this world were those who had great deficiencies. Amen. Great deficiencies. But they overcame it to their blessings. And the story of Joseph in the Old Testament came to me, and I'm not going to go through the whole story, but you can go home and read it. Amen. And Joseph had a great road to go in his life. He was going to be elevated to the prime minister of Egypt. He was going to have authority that nobody else had except the Pharaoh. God does not just plop us down in a place of victory and say, there you are. He never has, and he's not going to do it that way. And the reason he didn't do it with Joseph and he doesn't do it with us is, first of all, he's got to see if we can handle the blessings that he wants to give to us.
That's good.
Praise God. He wants to see if we can handle the blessings. And so there are things that come along. And for Joseph, it was a road filled with hardships. And don't tell me that he was shouting and hallelujah all the way through it. There were times of tears. There were times of loneliness. Psalms chapter 105 and 17 and 18, read for us tonight.
He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters, he was laid in iron.
Amen. That talks about one of the things that Joseph had to deal with, and I believe that Joseph had to deal with it all the rest of his life. It was the pain. It was the rejection here, and the Bible says that he sent a man before them, and Joseph actually came to the place where he understood this, and he said, you sold me as a slave, but you don't realize it was God that sent me to preserve life and to be a blessing. Praise God. And if you can get to the place where you understand that, you're in a good place. We're all striving for that. Amen. But he sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant. He was a slave whose feet they hurt with fetters. So in other words, when they sold Joseph, they put his feet in stocks of iron. And he had to walk all the way to Egypt with those chains dragging behind him and those fetters rubbing upon his ankles and his feet, probably digging into the muscle and the bone. And it was very painful. And I really feel like that every day of his life from then on, even when he was blessed by the Lord, when he put his shoes on that morning, he saw the wounds and he saw the scars of the past. And it put it all in perspective for him because he was so very, very blessed. Amen. The Apostle Paul went through the very same thing. And he had an infirmity in his flesh, and he prayed three times, and the Lord said, I'm not going to heal it, quit praying. Because if I healed you, you would be lifted up in your pride, and you would say, I'm a great man of God, and you would be destroyed by your pride. I need you to wake up, Paul, every morning and remember, amen, remember who you are and where you came from. We're just dust, amen. We're made out of mud tonight, amen. But thank God he's filled this mud with the Holy Ghost, and he's given us a hope beyond this life. Praise God. He's given us something, amen, that we can shout about. Nobody wants scars, but we're all going to have them. Amen. You know why? Because, first of all, I'm not perfect. And second of all, nobody around me is perfect. Somebody said, how can I fly with eagles when I'm around all these turkeys? Amen. Well, God can help you to fly. Amen. Praise God. He really can. And every day as the prime minister of Egypt, he put his shoes on. He was reminded of his brothers. He was reminded of his dad. He was reminded that it was God that put him where he was at that point. Amen. And I look out across our church, and I see some of you that have started with nothing. Amen. And I started with nothing. I didn't have two nickels to rub together, but tonight you're blessed. If you're blessed, just raise your hand to the Lord and say, I'm blessed. I'm blessed, so very, very blessed. But that doesn't mean that I'm good. Some people say that spiritualness and what does it say? Somebody had that. Anyway, that if you're blessed, you're godly. But that's not the truth. Amen. There are many wicked people that are blessed and have very, very much. And it's a hindrance to them. I don't want to be hindered. Amen. I want to be like Solomon said, Lord, don't make me poor so I have to steal. And don't make me rich so that I forget you. But just put me somewhere in the middle. Amen. So I can live for you every day. And some of you are greatly, greatly blessed. Amen. I just love the Brown family so very much. And I remember where y'all came from and where you're at tonight. And I'm just so proud of your commitment to do the will of God. Amen. I remember little Dan sitting on the floor in that apartment when we were teaching Bible study. Maya hadn't even come along yet. Amen. Didn't have anything. But I'll tell you what, I love teaching Bible studies like that. Amen. Because there was a heart that said, I've got a hope. Amen. There's more to it than this. Amen. And there is more to it than this. 1 Corinthians 15 and 51. Take a deep breath. There's several scriptures here.
Behold, I show you a mystery. Mm-hmm. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
Well, praise God. The day is going to come when this mortal is going to take on immortality. And we're not going to have those weaknesses. We're not going to have those. We're going to have more strength than we have now.
Right.
Amen. We're going to be blessed greatly. We're not going to have to deal with temptation.
Yes, sir.
We're not going to have to deal with the devil. All of those things are going to be removed. And that's why the gospel is so very, very powerful. Amen. And we know that the gospel, this is where I wished I had my chalkboard here tonight, But write this down. The gospel is the death. Everybody said death. And the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
Amen. That's the gospel. What does that mean to me as an individual? Well, let's go to Romans chapter 6. And I want to start with verse 6, I believe it is. Romans 6 and 6. If you'll turn with your Bible to with me here tonight. I don't know how fast I can get to this. Praise God. Romans chapter 6 and verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man, that's the old lifestyle, the old person that we used to be, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. And so we don't have the luxury of saying, God made me this way, and this is the way I'm going to live my life. No, what we have to do is we have to be crucified. Well, praise God. I didn't expect you to get up and shout and run around the church on that one. Amen. But we've got to be crucified with him. That doesn't mean that we're nailed to a physical cross, but it means that we have to come to an altar somewhere. In my life, it was in a 1948 Chevrolet out in the parking lot of the church, and I died out to God. I wept like a baby. Amen. And asked God for forgiveness of all of my sins. I didn't want to go to hell. I wanted to live for God. Amen. You've got to find a place somewhere in your life where you die out to yourself. Well, praise God. And you can be haughty about it and say, well, I don't want to do it. Well, you don't have to do it. Amen. You can just be lost for eternity because pride, theft, adulteries, all of the things that are written in the Word of God, they're not going to be in heaven. You've got to die out to these things. They've got to die. Amen. And then the Bible says there in verse 4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism. So we die out in repentance, and then we are baptized. And so when we are baptized, amen, it is we are buried with Christ.
Right.
Try to get that out there. We are buried with him. Amen. So in other words, the old man is buried. When you went down in the water, it wasn't just a ceremonial thing.
Right.
You were buried with him.
Yeah, that's right.
And then praise God. It's not just a death and a burial. It's not just repentance and baptism, but there is the power of the Holy Ghost. Praise God.
Amen.
The resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. If we obey it in repentance, burial in baptism, and rising to walk in a newness of life, you can overcome those things that you were made subject to.
Amen.
Praise God. You can. Amen. Romans chapter 6, verse 9 through 18. Read that for us here tonight.
Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your member as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were with the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart the form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness.
Praise God. Can't really get it any clearer than that. We've got to die out to our old self. And we have to say, I'm not living that way anymore. Amen. Not doing that anymore. I'm going to pray until God gives me the power to have the victory over this. Amen. Yes, I was made a certain way by God. And he gave me my soul that's going to spend eternity somewhere. And he gave me some weaknesses so I can turn to him for victory. Amen. And if I turn to him, he will never turn me away. That's the beauty of living for God. And the Bible says that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And we're not out to conquer other people. No. We're out to conquer ourselves. Because there are things in your life, in your flesh, Scripture says, that's what I should say, in your flesh, that are not the will of God. But we were made subject to it. You're going to battle it all the days of your life, but thank God for the victory. Yeah. Romans 8, 37, 38, and 39. And we'll finish with this here.
Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Praise God. What a way to finish it off here tonight. Amen. What does an enemy focus on? He focuses on the weakness of his opponent. Amen. Your weakness is the target of the enemy, and that's why we need to learn to live for God every day, to die out to God every day, to pray in the Spirit every day if we can. Amen. And read the Word. Praise God, and hear the word preached. Praise God. And if you fall, just get up and go again. Amen. Just get up and go again, because God is for you. Praise God. He's not against you. We need to learn to say, God is for me. Praise God. And my greatest enemy, amen, is the one that I looked at in the mirror this morning. Praise God. He said, you're too tired to pray. You're too tired to do this. You're too tired to go to church. Amen. But I'm not too tired to go to church. I'm not too tired to pray. Amen. And then that enemy called your flesh will say, well, yeah, you're right. Let's just put it off a day. And then a day goes by and another day goes by. Well, praise God. That's why I'm preaching only once a month. Amen. Praise God. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on salvation. And I'm going to read the text one more time as we stand here. Romans 8, 20 and 21. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly. Everybody said not willingly. But by reason of him who hath subjected the same, that's you and I, in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. Look at that. We're going to be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. It's not going to be like it is right now.
Amen.
And things are going to change.
Right.
There's a change coming.
Amen.
And that's what we call the rapture. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, this mortal shall take on immortality. In a twinkling of an eye, amen, bald heads are going to have hair on it. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, frowns are going to be turned into smiles.
Yes, sir.
In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, weeping is going to turn to laughter. Depression is going to turn into joy. And you'll be able to say, I'm so thankful I fought a good fight and I laid hold on eternal salvation. Praise God. Sister Pam, I want to be saved. Amen. Sister Annette, I want to be saved. I want to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Praise God. Weeping may endure for a night, Scripture says, but joy comes in the morning. Amen. There's a morning coming. Praise God. Brother Mike, there's a morning that's coming. Amen. It's coming. And it's going to be here very, very soon. Why don't you just surrender to God and just say, God, I give my whole life to you. Whatever the Word of God says, I'm going to do it. Even if I don't understand it, I'm just going to do it. Praise God. And I'll tell you what, God will open doors. God will open doors that you could not imagine. Father, we thank you tonight, Lord, for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the peace that we can have. Thank you for the joy that we can have. Thank you for the hope, Lord, that you put in our hearts tonight. Help us to fight the good fight of faith, to lay hold on salvation, to walk with you, even when we can't sense that you're near to us. In Jesus' name, Lord, touch each and every one of us here tonight. Bring us back Sunday for worship and praise. We'll give you thanks in Jesus' name tonight. Amen. Can we give the Lord a hand clap of praise together? Praise God.